Yes, another edition of the Film Drunk Frotcast is here. Thank you so much for joining us live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. This, of course, your ear rape is Ben. We got the whole crew in the house, plus an exciting guest tonight, super blogger extraordinaire Vince.
Hey, I'm not the special guest. There's a comment in between those?
No, you're not special nor a guest.
All right, cool.
You're neither of those things.
Yeah.
Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan's in the house.
Everything's quiet.
No. His headphones aren't working. He's freaking out right now, you guys.
Okay, I fixed it.
Oh, good.
All right.
And Squirrel Master Brett in the house.
Sometimes, to be different, I plug the microphone into my pee hole.
Into the pee hole?
Yeah.
That's a large...
I'm talking into my urethra.
That is a large pee hole.
Oh, shit, I can hear it.
Yeah. Brendan's in my balls.
Wow, that's...
Made him a little ball house down there.
Oh, how's that?
Make a little ball house in your mic. Not to put too fine a pee on it. You say I'm the only pee in your...
Scrotum.
Put a little pee house in your mic.
Every day.
Man. Well, we started.
Every day
we
I boot the start. Book.
Tell them what we're doing, Ben.
That's an obscure song. I don't know if most of our listeners...
Are you sure you guys don't want to cut me off a couple more times?
Oh, do you want to introduce yourself?
No.
Is that what this is about?
So tonight we are going to have Justin Halpern on, which is exciting. He's going to, and I don't know exactly what the segment's called, Vince.
I believe it is on the plots that get pitched in every sitcom writer's room.
The annual sitcom pitch.
Yeah.
Meeting.
Yeah.
Pitch. And then something like that. Thanks everyone for sending us. We've never gotten so many emails about the CNN headlined poop transplant story. Brendan. We're really spreading the gospel here.
We are. We're the hipsters of poop transplants. We knew about them before they were cool.
Yeah, way before they were cool.
We
knew about them when it was the only way to get them would to be like go to some van in a back alley.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a fully, you know, it wasn't normal doctors doing it.
Yeah, you can get it. You could have gotten a poop transplant and a fake butt at the same time.
From a chiropractor, maybe.
Yeah.
At the mall.
And then it just turns out it's cement or something.
When poop transplants are illegal, only criminals will transplant poop.
Yes. It's true.
And
they can have my poop transplant when they pry it from my cold, dead hands.
But, cold, dead butt.
God damn it.
Shit. God damn it. That's, I mean.
Man,
fuck, man.
He's whipped on a big softball.
Yeah.
Christ.
You set yourself up. The tee, it was all set, and you struck out. And also, of course, we wanted to thank everyone for continuing to back the Chicago live broadcast brought to you by Tall Tale Productions. Continuing to get people buying shirts and tickets and all the above.
Buy some shirts, fuckers.
Well, and tickets. We'd like to see
tickets. Buy some tickets, fuckers.
We'd like to see humans there.
So the poop transplant story, it's, you know, pretty much the same poop transplant story.
I think we've written that story before.
Yeah.
Ben and I were speaking before the broadcast, and neither of us got a chance to read the article.
I was just skimming it.
And we were talking about
how
we don't really need to know because we know how the story goes.
That's right. We wrote it.
We know the end of this already.
Every day.
Hunter's mother donated one of her stools for the procedure. Next, the hospital lab carefully diluted it, George pumped the foreign fecal matter right into Hunter's colon.
Yep, sounds about right.
Can stool be made singular? I've never heard that before. One of their stools.
You mean plural?
Well, you have to make it singular to make it plural. I thought it was like moose, where it was always just moose.
Meese.
Yeah. A herd of stool.
We got a lot of emails.
It's a flock.
A flock
it's
of stools.
A flock of stools.
A flock of stools. That's my favorite indie band. We got a lot of emails that we didn't get to read last time. Someone sent us a very slam poetry-esque Levi's jeans ad.
Ooh.
From Mandrew, so we'll play that for you.
From Mandrew?
Our friend Mandrew.
This is a pair of Levi's, buttons and rivets and pockets and cuffs, and the thread that holds it together. When the road gets rough and the sky gets jumpy and the stars start falling on top of your head and the wheels start breaking against your legs, it's the thread in your seams that's tied to your dreams. It's the soul in your feet that keeps the beat. You're gonna be great, you're gonna be great, you're gonna be great, you're gonna find the cure. You're gonna be famous, you're gonna be shameless, spitting seeds in the wind, tap dancing with your shoelaces pinned to the back of a bus at the end of the road at the bottom of the ninth with a crown on your head. You're a queen, you're a king, you're the solo act in a sold-out show at a six-story stadium.
Give those jeans a 7.
You know what? I can't even give that a 7. That's like a 5.5.
Yeah.
If at the end it just paused for a beat and then went, "Don't poop your pants."
That I would give a 7.
I'd be back on board.
I would give it a 7 if it did that.
Ben, your coffee kind of tastes like weed. Is there like...
Oh, you're going to be so high.
Is this like hemp coffee?
You're going to be so high. Hmm. Yeah, it's weed coffee.
Did you fast today?
No.
Why not?
Well, I ate a little gold. No, I don't do that stuff. I don't really see the point.
Okay.
In following rules from 4,000 years ago.
Because your god is scary. Oh. You have a scary god.
We did get an email about you.
That I suck? When, and
no, not that one. The subject line for this one is just Ben's face is weird. Gentlemen, I just watched your Kickstarter video and ... Holy crap, is that what Ben looks like? I always pictured Vince with his dopey clown-haired grin, Brendan as a handsome behemoth, and Brett as a full-grown bat boy shielding his eyes from the light.
Very, very true.
But Brett is just scarily apt. But after listening for years, Ben is the only one of the menage a frot for whom I didn't have a clear mental image. I guess it's because we don't have a whole lot of Jews down here in Australia, which is weird because this whole place is pretty much one big desert, so I've never actually seen one in real life. I guess with globalization on the increase, though, it's only a matter of time before a mating pair sneaks aboard a cargo ship and we end up with an infestation on our hands. Can you help us prepare ourselves? How do you know when you're looking at a Jew, and what's the best way to act in that situation?
They're exactly like cane toads in that you don't want to lick their butts.
Well, I heard in the vein of St. Patrick, Mel Gibson banished all the Jews from Australia.
That's exactly what happened.
With his magical staff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. He stabbed that guy with the flag at the end.
No, don't kill my last son.
He killed the last Jew with an Israeli flag. It was very symbolic.
Oh, I thought he stabbed him. Punched Joe Pesci in the face.
Stabbed him right in the horn.
Are you sure he didn't kill him with a huge cross?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'd go with.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
This is our country. And then he stabs him.
This is our country.
Toby Keith comes
in. That was the worst football season ever.
Oh, God.
Toby Keith comes in. He high-fives Mel.
Did you ever see that that one video where it was like, football, America, Jesus, making out with my guy friends, and it was like a bunch of dudes making out?
No, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Was that an ad for Budweiser?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Budweiser.
Mm.
Jesus.
No, really? You're the one who whipped.
I know. Yeah. I'm
Damn
sorry.
It. Schlitz gay.
You guys look like you need to get wet. Oh, man.
I love
just
that move.
Just spitballing here.
That's one of the top five Saturday Night Live sketches ever.
The move doesn't work too well on audio, but the move where they do their hands, they lean back.
Yeah.
And they're
like wiggling their hands. Yeah.
Well, they do the thing where they replay it twice and then they like blue tint it, the old 90s move.
I also like when he moves the – it's the old school video camera that has full VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And then he moves it right towards the guy's right package.
Also, what kind of sucks and what's been lost to history, to some of our younger viewers, we're speaking, of course, of the infamous Schmitz Gay commercial on Saturday Night Live with Adam Sandler and Chris Farley.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. But I still remember the original version had Beautiful Girls by Van Halen, which is just the perfect guitar riff. Because,
does it not have that anymore?
No, because when you watch it on Best Of or something like that, it's that sort of weird stock music.
Oh, really? It's a sound-alike? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a sound-alike, yeah.
Oh, yeah! Beautiful girls!
Yeah, because that's just the perfect... That riff, if you translate it into English, is I'm staring at a dude's dick.
God, David Lee Roth. That guy.
We haven't listened to him in a while. We haven't
heard from him in a while.
Interrupting
David
Lee
Roth.
Yeah. Now you got to make me look it up.
Yeah.
Now you got to sneak it in at some point we're not expecting.
Yeah, you can't just shoehorn it
one
in.
One time
right
I was at Guitar Center with my roommate in college, Dickie, and we actually heard a guy jamming that riff. And then we looked at each other and went, thank you.
I've been saying this, but I feel like our generation's a Stairway to Heaven, in the sense that in Wayne's World, the guy starts playing Stairway, and then they grab the strings and he points the sign and says no stairway. I feel like our generation's Stairway to Heaven is Yellow Ledbetter, because I feel like almost
I was going to say every Under the Bridge.
Those are the two. But every
yeah, both the, either one, but I'd say Under the Bridge.
All right.
All right. You do need some skill to play Yellow Ledbetter. It's got that kind of weird harmonic.
No. That's not hard.
Wait, was it?
That's
was it, Brendan?
I can't do harmonics. Don't what? Ask me to do acapella.
Don't make me do mouth harmonics.
Under the Bridge has got the two-fingered fucking picking
like,
thing.
What does it sound like?
It's true.
You ever thought about going on just an acapella tour?
Oh, yeah. I was the seventh member of Rockapella. They kicked me out because I drank too much, like Dave Mustaine.
Yeah. You were the troublemaker?
Yeah, one day they woke me up and they did like a four-part harmony. Like, you're...
Out of the band. Out of the band. Well, you had a big pile of puke all around you.
Yeah, all right. So this next one is from Hobart. Tim Hobart.
Hobart.
This one, and it's just the subject line is just poop story. This one time in high school.
I like where this is going.
This one time in high school, we were hanging out at my house, and we decided to drink a case of Ball's energy drink. No, Mom, it's not beer. It's just energy. Anyways, long story short.
I like that. It's just energy, Mom.
Is that true, or does it have beer in there?
No, I think it's just energy. I've never heard of it.
Anyways, long story short, my buddy pooped in an olive jar, and we pushed a firecracker down in the poop, and it exploded on my parents' porch.
That's good.
Yeah. Brendan, be honest. How jealous are you of that you didn't do that at some point in your life?
Yeah, I'm somewhat jealous. I have definitely blown up dog shit with a firecracker.
Okay, yeah. Good. Good. How did that go?
It was fun. It was fun. I remember we got the right amount of firecrackers in it that it just vaporized. And I just remember this solid column of smoke. There was an explosion, and it was just like... And I think it was
a
very
plume?
Very vapor. Yeah, it was an actual
Did
plume.
It smell like a fart?
We didn't get that close. We were a little bit... You know
that poop's in the air now.
It is.
It's just in the air
now. Oh, shit. There it is. It's right there.
It could be anywhere.
I can feel it pooping in the air tonight.
Very sing-songy tonight.
Oh,
there's a Ball's energy drink?
Yeah, with a W.
Wait, what?
And a Z, I assume. Do you remember? It's got to be a Z.
There was, before there were actual memes, before there was a 4chan and things like that, there was the dancing baby, and then there was so-and-so ate my balls. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Ate my balls.
I saw a very...
Like, Mr. T ate my balls.
I saw a very accurate quote today, and it was just that memes are inside jokes for people with no friends. And I thought, huh.
I don't have any friends. Can I like memes?
Yeah, I guess so. You're in.
Yay.
How many friends do you have?
I don't have any friends.
Like, so two?
None.
Oh, yeah, you're in.
You might like memes, but don't tell anyone on 4chan that you're Jewish.
I don't get 4chan jokes. You're going to have to explain.
It's just the asshole of the internet.
Oh. I mean, I know.
But we love them.
I know what it is, but I don't exactly.
Don't hack my house.
Yeah. I need my heart to continue to work without interference.
All right, let's get Halpern on the phone because I thought we could play read this next email with him on the line because that would be.
Let's bloop that dude in.
Bloop him, bloop.
He can take a break from writing a couple sitcoms. Hmm. Is he currently employed by Hollywood?
Why don't you wait till he picks up the Skype
Hello.
And smacks him?
Hello?
Hey.
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 Hey. Hey.
This is my first time Skyping. You're taking my Skype hymen.
Are you liking it so far?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a lot better. Remember how bad my reception always is on the broadcast?
I know.
Comedically bad.
I don't remember how to push the... Oh, there we go. Yeah.
With your thumb. Use your thumb.
Yeah. Now we just videoed it up.
Oh, let me see him. Let me see his face.
He's not on video yet.
Oh.
How do I do video?
There's a little video icon. There's a little camera icon at the bottom. It's probably got a little slash through it.
Click on the camera. Oh,
there.
God. Oh, he's hideous.
Turn it off.
Should I just have a picture of my dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a prison movie.
There. We'll just talk like that.
I like it.
He really does have a picture of his dog.
Except it's a real dog. And
yeah, it's an actual dog.
Yeah. I know you draw a lot, so you probably don't understand the difference anymore.
You're the ugliest painting I've ever made.
we had one more email that I was going to wait to read until you were on for some reason. I don't know. So
he does stuff like that.
Yeah. Switching it up.
I feel included.
Yeah, I thought so. This one is just... the subject is so... I fucked a nana.
Oh, I like this one.
Yeah. Hey, frauders. A few months ago, I was seeing a woman in her early 30s who had gotten divorced about 6 months prior. We'd known each other since we were children, and she was my very first crush, so needless to say, my 10-year-old self was spurring me on to seal the deal. One night after dinner and drinks, we drove up to a scenic beach to watch the submarine races when she basically orally attacked my crotch. She was blowing me with such force that her hair was whipping up into my face, and then bang, she'd come down hard on my prick with little or no respect for its bending threshold or sensitivity to teeth scraping. Apparently, she'd been giving head to her ex-husband for so long, she didn't realize that not all men like the feeling of angrily grinding their penis into a pile of rocks. When she finished and looked up at me, I was basically bent backwards into the back seat and my eyes were watering, to which she said, "I knew I'd give great head." I just sort of agreed and took her home. My dick was so sore and scraped that I couldn't touch or even look at it for 2 days. To this day, she is known within my circle of friends as Grandma Thunderhead. Keep up the good work. Maybe my next noteworthy sexual escapade will involve some farts for Brendan, crying for Brett, Southern Plantation for Vince, or transforming robots for Ben.
Yay! Something for everybody.
Yeah.
It's like an uncircumcised thing, isn't it?
What, scraping the crap out of your dick with your teeth?
Yeah.
I don't think
that says anything to do with
circumcision. No, like Australia.
Unless
they were
you want to get circumcised.
Australian handjobs were very mean-spirited and aggressive. They were tugging a little harder and meaner than they had to
ow,
tug.
Ow! Ow!
Yeah, it's like I don't have as much to work with down there.
Foreign girls that aren't used to lack of foreskin. They treat you a little more. It's a little more rough. It's like prison rules.
Prison rule handjobs?
Yeah.
It's like the longest yard, but with
I guess you're right. I never connected the dots there.
Yeah, they got a lot more leeway. They got slack in the rope.
Mm. Yeah. I was like, what is it with these German girls? They're insane. Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So Justin, we got to congratulate you on your new gig.
Oh, the TV show?
Yeah, have you started yet?
No, I'm still writing on Cougar Town. We just started getting into the pilot shit with Fox. So we're getting the story area okayed and shit like that.
Can you talk about it on the broadcast?
I can talk about it on the broadcast.
All right.
There's not a lot to talk about. I mean, we sold to Fox. It's based on my book and it's going to be single camera.
Yay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I hope it has a laugh track, though.
Yeah, let's not laugh track.
Oh. How do you know when it's funny?
I don't know when to laugh.
I'm afraid.
Well, the good thing we're doing is we're not making it funny at all, so you won't have to worry about laughing.
Perfect. Perfect. Good. Good to know.
It's a somber affair.
Well, it also, it's good.
I thought that was called Bleep My Dad Says. Oh, shit.
It's good knowing that going in, so I don't have to worry about laughing.
It takes the pressure off.
It really does.
So what's it going to be called?
It's going to be called I Suck at Girls.
Okay.
Two books?
I can't wait to hear Joe Buck say that on air.
Well, let's hope it gets that far. Fucking A.
God, there's some TV shows where it's just like, even if they're really good, there's no way I want to watch it just so I don't have to ever say the name. Like, I don't want to ever say the name Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Like,
that
could be the best show on television. Yeah. I don't ever want to have to say the name of that show to other people.
I'm really proud of myself that I've never heard of that.
Who would rent to a badger?
I would watch the show if it was about a badger.
That'd be awesome. Nah,
you know, we wouldn't watch that. That badger's a bitch.
Don't trust the badger. No matter what it says, it will fucking eat you.
Don't Trust the Badger is like three sitcoms worth of hilarity.
It should be like Wilfred, where it's a guy in a badger suit.
God, you were terrible.
Boo.
No, but then his wife is a real badger.
Alfred, shame him. Shame him.
Tell him that would never fly.
I feel like, that's terrible, Vince.
Oh,
dang it.
So, you have some ideas that get brought every time to the meetings.
Why don't you just let him describe the segment?
What sort of sentence was that? You have some idea.
That
was like something Stephen A. Smith would say.
What kind of language was that?
Damn it.
You are.
All right, I'm going to leave. You guys have fun. It's been real.
Every time.
Be funny. Ha ha. Explain.
There. See, you could say it. You're the comedian.
That was like a Borat joke.
Ben just thought he was going to get more sing-song in. That would help explain it better. So you are maybe doing something, but I don't know what the words.
Is that Cosby?
Tell us how you pitch ideas on the sitcom.
On the sitcom.
It's the sitcom.
Well, I told Vince that. So now I've been on shows for the last 3 years, a different one each year because they always get canceled. But
100%.
Yeah, I right now have a perfect record. So if Cougar Town goes off the air this year, you'll know it's because of me.
You're the Ted McGinley of writers.
The Ed McGinley.
The Ted McGinley.
Oh, Ted McGinley.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think there's other guys that are Ted McGinley. He was on. He's in Revenge of the Nerds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the lead alpha beta. The old story was. Ted McGinley was like the canary in the mineshaft because every show except for Married with Children, every show that was dying, like Ted McGinley would they'd put him on to, you know, boost ratings, and then it would go off the air less than a season or two later.
Well, he was like the patron saint of that website, Jump the Shark.
Yeah,
and there was a whole different section for him where the shows Jump the Shark. And their argument actually, and it wasn't bad, was that he Married with Children jumped the shark when he came on. Which I actually disagreed with because I thought he was still funny.
Yeah, I disagree with that too. I thought he was a good character.
I thought he was funny, but you know, I guess if you're a purist, maybe you roll with the original shit. What was his name?
What on?
Not Ted McGinley, but the first Marcy's husband.
I'm not sure. I want to meet a Married with Children purist.
Well, he was Jefferson on Married with Children.
Jefferson Darcy, and then she was Marcy Darcy.
That's
but
right,
she had the husband before that.
No. Did she? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was that one guy.
Fact checker says yes.
He looked like Mike Krzyzewski.
He did look a little like Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
All right, so
we digress.
Yeah. So your segment continues.
Yes.
Sorry.
So I contacted Vince, and we were thinking of segments, and I thought like. I notice every year in the writer's room, the same sitcom ideas get pitched, like the same ones every single year. And they're on every sitcom. Like every sitcom, no matter if it's good or bad, does these same stories every year. So I thought I would just like run through a few with you guys see if you guys remember these.
Some sort of variation on this basic storyline.
Yeah, like basically few stories are done every year over and over and over again. So the first one is some family member is coming to town and you have to pretend – two characters have to pretend that they're something that they're not. It's in every fucking sitcom.
So they have to pretend they have a job that they don't or they're successful.
Or they're married or they're like – or if it's a sitcom that has a gay guy, he's pretending he's not gay. Or if it's a religious guy, he's pretending he's not religious.
Ooh, ooh,
like,
ooh, ooh, or one of them's a tree.
Or one of them's a tree. No, I haven't seen that episode.
And he has to pretend not to be a tree.
I am not a tree.
Family coming to town is definitely a trope, and they're always from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And they'll always say something kind of racist.
Right.
And then the laugh track will go nuts.
Yeah.
Then
there's always the episode where two characters make a bet, and it's usually like a B story. There'll be an A story, but the B story is – because what will happen is you're in the room and you're like, all right, we have this A story for the two main characters, and then and then it'll be like right before you shoot and you won't be able to figure anything out. And you'll be like, wouldn't it be – wait, what? Like, maybe it'd be funny if these two characters bet that somebody couldn't do something. And then that's always an episode of TV. Like, I just was watching Parks and Rec last week, and there was a bet that Aziz Ansari and what's her face, Quincy Jones's daughter,
Rashida,
they had a bet with Donna that they couldn't stay together for a certain amount of time. So even like good sitcoms, like Parks and Rec's a good sitcom, even good sitcoms do it.
Is it? I feel like there's some shows that don't necessarily do the A story, B story thing. I mean, none of the network shows, but like, I don't know.
Like, what show would you say doesn't do that?
I feel like some of the FX shows don't necessarily. I mean, that's why they tend to fall on their face more if something's not working. But I feel like some of them don't necessarily do B story.
Name one.
Louis definitely doesn't do B-Story.
Yeah, Louis definitely doesn't do it.
But
no, Louis, I would argue that Louis is not a sitcom.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's not a sitcom, yeah.
Workaholics, that doesn't necessarily do B-Story.
Not really a sitcom either.
Well, I mean, it's that's as much
situational comedy. I mean,
it's as much of a sitcom as Parks and Rec is. It's just not a network show.
Workaholics.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
As a sitcom writer, what's your take?
Yeah.
I mean, I if you have a lot of characters to service, like Workaholics is always those three guys doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because like It's Always Sunny or Workaholics, there's less characters. Not as much It's Always Sunny, but like I just feel a lot of the network shows, they have a million characters. And like The Office and 30 Rock, there was and Parks and Rec, every single one of those shows has like one or two characters who are completely worthless that they don't need around at all.
Yeah, well, like, that'll be the thing where they'll be like, "Oh, let's toss Jerry in this story.
Let's get a fat, stupid guy like Kevin on fucking on The Office."
Or Creed.
Creed was awesome, but Kevin was fucking garbage.
Yeah, I mean,
well, the problem is when you're pitching a show to a network, you're trying to hit like, in order for them to buy it, you're trying to hit like every fucking quadrant.
Oh, yeah.
of relatability that you possibly can, and you're trying to get like. So you come up with all these characters, and then you come in with your pitch, and you're like, and then there's this guy, and he's like crusty on the outside.
Wacky neighbor.
He loves deeply.
This show needs more characters who are trees. I liked your pitch, but where's the big, fat, funny, dumb guy? You're missing that.
Exactly. Justin. So you end up with like a sitcom with like seven people, and then it's 2 a.m. in the writer's room, and you're like, well, how the fuck do we make Kevin funny? And they're like, well, what if Kevin forgets to wipe his asshole? And then that's your story.
Turns out that's funny, though.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I would watch that. Hey, Justin, I have a question. When are they bringing back the very special episode?
We did a very special episode on Shit My Dad Says, so really? Fuck off.
Nice. I didn't watch it.
Well, you know what?
Was that the Holocaust episode?
No, I wish we did a Holocaust episode. No.
Reenactment?
Yeah, they do a Holocaust reenactment, and he refuses to let the Nazis lose.
I want it to end different this time.
Oh, you got you just got yourself a new plot there, sir.
I felt really bad about not watching Shit My Dad Says, because the first time we interviewed you was before the show went on the air. And then when we hung out in San Francisco, I think I like finally – after a couple beers, I was like, yeah, I never really watched it. You're like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that show was terrible. First of all, we did a very special episode about Shatner having a Navy buddy that he was, like, really great friends with, and then he finds out his Navy buddy is homophobic. And it was, like, it was so dated. He was like, if you can't learn to love – my gay friends, and you can get the hell out of my house. Like, it was so – we were like – it didn't make any sense, because not that that's not a topic you can't talk about, but it just felt like it was 1986.
Yeah.
It was, like, really weird.
Yeah, we live in a post-Three's Company world.
Exactly.
Wait, they were all gay?
What was it?
They were all dudes, and they were all gay.
Oh, wait, no. It was – wait, no, he wasn't gay.
No, he
Sorry.
Told the landlord he
was
gay.
He told the landlord he was gay,
because no one would let him live in that house with two swinging chicks.
They didn't have gay people in the 70s.
Yeah. So what's the other –
just everyone was fucking.
What's your next plot?
So, okay. So then there – well, then there's also – like within those tropes, there's jokes that you always use. So I was going to do a little thing on the joke. So the first joke that's in every fucking sitcom is what we always pitch, like – you can't come up with a joke in the room, so you pitch something like a no joke, which is basically like some character will be like, what have I always said my dream was? And then somebody would be like, fart the national anthem, blah, blah, blah. Like three people answer, and then he's like, no, it's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the easiest way to get like eight characters to weigh in and give them all jokes. Cause what happens is like you're writing jokes on the show and then you have like seven characters to service. And then you'll realize, oh, fucking, you know, John Krasinski hasn't said shit in a page and a half.
Yeah.
You gotta have him. And you can't just like, there's also always one character who you just call like there's one character on every first season of a show that you just call the Riddler because all they do is ask questions to service the plot.
I mean, like me. Can I do that? I could do that. That's all I do is ask questions.
Yeah, so you don't ever get to say anything funny ever. All you do, all your
sound just like me.
Have you heard that John Mulaney bit about Ice-T on Law and Order?
No.
Where he's just like the premise of the bit is that Ice-T is asking a question about how sex addiction works, and he's like, "So let me get this straight. It's like if you go out and gamble and lose your whole paycheck, but with sex." And he's like, I just wanted to hear him go on for like 10 minutes. Like, you mean like when you go to the convenience store and you buy too many scratchy lotteries? And he's like lists off like 20 different things. It's like when you go to the horse track and you bet too much money on the horses, but with sex.
That I'm sure that's Ice-T's role in every episode because Ice-T probably just sees his name, and if he sees a line underneath his name, he's like, "I'm good." And so the writers probably just like, "We're going to give him all of the pipe to get out in this episode."
I think it's adorable that you think there's more than one episode of SVU. There's only one episode.
They just keep replaying it.
It happens over and over again in different apartments.
I would love to see So Let Me Get This Straight supercut, because that's like the classic, the classic expository dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's usually not about anything that complicated.
Hey, yo, they got snakes out there this big?
That's one of the best lines from that. That's one of the best lines of all of the 1990s.
Yeah. I wish that people would bring back the 1980s LA gangster accent. And I knew this dude in college. He was from Clearwater, Florida. And he was on the football team, so he had to introduce himself to us.
Did he sit on Hader Court?
And he was not on Hader Court. He came in later to the game. But I remember when he introduced himself to us, he was like, "Yeah, man, I'm from Clearwater, Florida." And he had that, you know, Ice Cube Doughboy accent.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did that happen? But it's pretty awesome. I think we need to bring it back.
Maybe I'll try to bring – maybe everyone in I Suck at Girls will talk like that.
Yeah. So, man, you didn't even ask her for a number? That's some Buster-ass shit.
The other sitcom plot I was going to say is, like, if you're ever watching a sitcom and you hear and one of the characters in the first 5 to 10 minutes makes a big deal about something they never do, like, I never lie, then the rest of the episode is going to be how they get caught in a lie.
Yeah.
And it's called, like, a –
Chekhov's
gun. We call it a hoisted by your own petard episode.
I will say the Veep episode where she said you got hoisted by your own retard was like one of my favorite jokes of last TV season.
Is also that show good? I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good,
funny. They did say gold-plated shit gibbon.
Yeah.
Which is A-okay in my book.
Yeah, they always have at least one line where I'm like remembering it for weeks afterwards.
I would recommend that show. It's funny.
They have a good understanding of how to effectively use vulgar words. Yeah. And so there's always a new vulgar term, that at least one, that you take away from every episode that's really funny.
It was also effectively silly, but not over the top. I liked the White House guy was funny.
He's the really smug guy. Yeah,
and it always just poop on him all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
I would recommend.
You should watch it, Justin.
I'm gonna offer your recommendation. What do you have? You guys seen any of the pilots for this season? You seen any of the new shows?
Do you want my honest?
I almost completely stopped watching network TV. To be honest,
You almost stopped because it's a very strict life rule that I
like.
Have.
I still watch 30 Rock and you know Parks and Rec every once in a while. But
Justin, sorry, buddy, I don't watch those things.
Is it going to be if I miracles get another show on the air? Does that mean you're not going to watch?
I will give your show. I gave Shit My Dad Says a chance, and
and I fucking burned you.
And then that means you're not going to watch this.
And no, I'll give it another chance. I mean the Holocaust reenactment it hit deep. No, I'll give your show a chance.
I had the first 5 episodes of Shit My Dad Says I wanted to do about the Holocaust. They wouldn't let me.
I wanted
groundbreaking TV.
If something looks good, I'll give it a chance. But more often than not, the network promos are like, "Well, guess what? All the lights go off, and suddenly everybody has a crossbow." It's like, well,
Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah. Well, that's the other crazy thing. Like, do you think that I saw that Revolution promo too? Like, do you really think the world would go that crazy if the lights went out?
Well, my favorite thing is that guns don't exist anymore. I don't know how they shoehorned that
yeah,
in.
That's, I don't. Because
I didn't watch it, but it's like the lights go out and then guns go away, yeah. And everyone's got a crossbow.
The lights go off and then suddenly everybody's in the 14th century, and you're like, ah,
and they all don't have any normal stuff anymore.
What happens when everything's the Hunger Games? I don't know. Maybe we make $1 billion.
Yeah, Justin, I'll give it a chance. Is it so? It's a pilot that is hopefully going to get picked up.
Well, hopefully it'll get shot first, and then if it gets shot and they like it, then hopefully it would get, yeah, picked up.
And Rupert Murdoch has bugged your house like the firm, right?
Yeah. He's bugged my phone, and it's just pictures of myself masturbating.
Serves him right.
That's the new thing, by the way. It's not a self-shot of yourself naked. It's a self-shot of you masturbating.
Wow. So you take it to a whole other level.
I'm going to try to start that. I feel like I'm tired of seeing celebrities just take, like, naked pictures. I want to see them go a little farther.
I set it to video and then pick my favorite frame so you can actually see the semen fly through the air.
Money shot. Full money shot.
I need a GIF.
That should be the commercial for that.
I need a GIF so it looks like I can just go forever.
You just come over and over and over and over.
With your grainy hands just working their magic.
Yeah.
With his backhand.
Now I have some film questions for you guys since I have your ear right now.
Okay.
All right. I haven't been able to check the size of it. Vince, have you seen The Master?
I have. Everybody's seen it except for Brendan.
Brendan failed the mission.
And is it good?
I liked it more than they did, these two.
I don't know how to feel about it. It was really well acted and long and rambly.
We don't want to spoil it too bad for Brendan or anyone else who hasn't seen it.
The Master dies.
I enjoyed it. I think if it wasn't Paul Thomas Anderson, I'd like it significantly less.
Well, yeah, but then it wouldn't look as good, and that would be like that's kind of like half the appeal
really,
of it.
It's really pretty, and Joaquin Phoenix does a fucking amazing job.
I mean, it's definitely
his character cracked me up, and like all the shots were pretty, and I just wanted to watch them. I just wanted to watch him film stuff and them do stuff more.
Their relationship was confusing at points, but. I guess it felt like he had something he was trying to tell you and then wasn't enunciating it rather than him being ambiguous.
You think?
Yeah. It makes me want Paul Thomas Anderson to make more movies because he does make them awesome. And it's worth seeing.
There's a lot of tits in it.
We'll get more into it next week when Brendan, if you don't see it by next week.
You have my permission to
God
speak freely.
Save your soul.
I appreciate any artsy film with that many boobs and fart jokes.
It has fart jokes?
Yes.
There are several
multiple.
Fart jokes.
Brendan, multiple.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I'm leaving right now.
Like fart jokes structured in such a way that it was like I could have written that. Like that. Like that much up my alley type fart jokes.
That much up your ass.
But alley.
Brendan, did you know that my dog audibly farts?
No, that's amazing.
Yeah. Only dog I've ever met that actually...
Brendan, that's a class that you should take your dog to.
I know. My dog audibly farted once.
Good boy! Good boy!
Mine fart... Like, his farts can walk through walls. Like, I think my dog is an X-Man because
he learns from his dad.
He'll be asleep in my bed in the other room in, like, my cement-walled apartment, and I will smell it. In the other side of the apartment.
He learns that from you, because I don't know what you eat, but your farts like singe nose hairs.
It's true. Will clear a bar. It's disgusting what comes out of your butt. Mm.
Have I ever told you the story when I farted on Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yeah, you told that on the broadcast one time.
But you know what? It's been a while.
We'd love a refresher.
Oh, you want a refresher of that story? That's a good story. Well, all right. So she came in. I was waiting tables. She came into the restaurant that I was working on. And I was waiting tables in Pasadena, and one of the other waiters said, the ghost whisperer is here. You should fart on her.
Hey, Justin, you also have to explain that wasn't farting on celebrities like a thing. It was not.
Yeah, that was my thing.
This was not a lark. This was.
No, I had farted. Here's the celebrities. Before Jennifer Love Hewitt, here's the celebrities I had farted on. I farted on Damon Wayans. I farted on David Alan Greer.
You got half the cast of Living Color.
I know. I farted on Tim Matheson. Anyone?
Okay.
I farted on Matthew Lillard.
Oh, nice. That's a good one. That's a guy you'd like to fart on.
That's a get. That's a get, yeah. Right there.
That was a get. I farted on Roma Downey, who played Touched by an Angel.
She didn't deserve that.
Dare you.
And I farted on Al from Home Improvement.
Oh hell yeah. Richard Karn. His name sounds like a synonym for fart, Richard Karn.
Maybe I'll explain it in the story, because I don't remember the details, but maybe get into – is it the same, the technique, the same every time?
So here's what I would do. I would always go and pretend like I was talking to the table behind them so that my asshole was as close to their face as possible. And then I would let it go. Like I knew – it was usually – mine are usually silent and pretty hot. And I would let it go. And then I would walk away, and the other waiters would like crowd around and try to watch. And occasionally there'd be like a reaction, but not really. Like usually I couldn't get them to actually react. I didn't know if they smelled my fart or not. So when Jennifer Love Hewitt came in, everybody was like, if there's anybody who needs to be farted on, it's her.
She has been waiting her whole life to be farted on by you.
She needs to be vajazzled with farts.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I'm lactose intolerant and I have irritable bowel syndrome.
So, nasty combo.
Just like Kelsey Grammer's wife or ex-wife. Who was on Shit My Dad Says. Full circle that. Just came full circle.
I like it.
Anyway.
You're planning this all along like a true sitcom writer, right?
Yeah, well, that's called a callback.
Yeah.
So she comes in, she's with her boyfriend, and everybody was like, all right, we got to figure out how to, like, we really want finally for her to smell, like somebody to smell this fart and have a reaction. And so we like diagrammed it up like you're drawing a football play in the dirt when you're like like two in touch.
All right, Johnny, go right over this way.
You need to set a pick on her boyfriend.
It was like that. It was like, yeah. So anyway, I walk over to her, but there's no table. There's nobody at the table behind her. So I have to pretend like I'm like fixing up, like lighting the candles and fixing up the table behind her.
And just farting, no big whoop.
No. So I go over there and I let one go. And you know when sometimes when you let one go, like it burns your asshole as it comes out.
Right. Yeah. And you know it's just going to smell horrible.
Yeah, you know it's going to smell horrible, but you also know it's going to rise very quickly because it's so hot.
Brendan, this guy's done a lot of fart science.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on the same page right now.
So as soon as I let it go, I clamped my belt around my waist really tightly so that it couldn't escape from the top, like through the top. And I stood there.
You trapped it. You trapped it.
Wait, were you wearing neoprene pants? Because I'm pretty sure it's just going to come right out of your pants.
No, like I'm a pretty skinny guy, so it's hard for belts to just like really fit tight. They're usually pretty loose, and I could feel this fart.
I'm just saying, I don't think that fabric is going to be much of a scent barrier.
Vince, he was clenching his butt really hard. Okay,
all right, fair.
He's trying to tell a story.
I'm sorry.
Trust me, Vince. It was the best way to let this fart out.
Okay.
So anyway, it was like starting to come up my collar, which is why I had pinched it off. So I let the fart go, and I stood there like an extra 3 or 4 seconds than I normally do. Because usually, like, I just fart and run. Like, basically, like, it's more about the act of doing it and less about how they're going to react. But right. This time, I really wanted a reaction. So I let it go, and it was so hot. It was so hot coming out. And I stood there for, like, 3 or 4 seconds, and then I walked away, and I didn't look at her or anything. And then I'm walking towards the back of the restaurant, and I see all the waiters just like scattering like cockroaches, like laughing really, really hard. But I didn't know what had happened. So then I walk up to – I say to one of the waiters, I'm like, what happened? Like, what'd she do? And apparently she was just like – apparently she was eating and talking to her boyfriend. Then all of a sudden she stopped like immediately, like a bite about to go around, stopped and like scrunched her whole face up and shook her face. And then her boyfriend – made the motion like – they couldn't hear what he was saying, but he made this motion like, I don't know what you're talking. Oh, my God. stopped in the middle of what I was saying and said, oh my God. And then I guess to her credit, she still left like a 25% tip.
maybe
classy dame.
Maybe she's enjoyed it.
Maybe
she's a fart fetishist.
I would have done it just on the off chance that she like jiggled one of her boobs while she was wafting my fart out of her face. Because then, that would be a gif in my brain.
Did you get a reaction out of Damon Wayans?
No, and that one was actually the only one that was accidentally audible.
He didn't hit you with a sock.
I was picturing more drilling him in the head with a football like Les Boys.
right, yeah.
Best arm in the league.
National League, you fat fuck.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Did you hear? I'm about to break some news on the broadcast. They just, it's done. The replacement ref thing is done.
Oh, right. Yeah, I did
see
that.
It's official?
It's official.
Did you broker that or something? How are you breaking news?
Listen, anytime there's any kind of negotiations, they bring in every Jew they can find.
God damn it.
This is going to be breaking news when everyone listens to this at 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Ben didn't get to go to the negotiations because you didn't go to Yom Kippur.
I didn't fast. They get a spotlight, and then they project a big Star of David above the night sky.
And then we, all of us come running. We all know.
Yeah. Actually, I had an article already queued up about the guy, the replacement ref. Who made that call? Because he had to be partying in Fresno when they caught up to him. And then,
who's they? Is there a roving band of pitchfork and
whoever the media was following him and taking pictures?
It's just Brett Favre. The ghost of Brett Favre just shows up. It's like, you did wrong, son.
I like how they act as if this guy should have just basically crawled in a hole and died because the whole. All right, I'll read you the article. Less than 24 hours after making the worst call in NFL history, replacement referee Lance Easley was enjoying his infamy, posing for photos with a bevy of admiring babes at a bar, even as he's still receiving death threats. Photos of the 52-year-old Easley surfaced on the internet on Wednesday, showing him belling up to a bar Tuesday night, smiling for snapshots with at least four young women. A second shot showed him posing with a blonde woman dressed in a Green Bay Packers uniform. The photos were taken at the Club Habanos bar in the Central California town of Fresno. It's like, really? Haven't we suffered enough with Kevin Federline?
Dead serious, though. What's he doing? Does he live there? What's he doing there?
I don't know. He's from Santa Maria, apparently.
It's just
another shithole.
Santa Maria is where people from Fresno go to vacation, right?
Oh. So we played Santa Maria in high school. And they're
the low-carb monster?
Yeah, well, I didn't play basketball, but their basketball team played our basketball team and, like, beat the shit out of us for some reason. And as they're leaving, this one dude stands up and says, "You may win, and you may like it, but when you go home, know this. Your town smells like broccoli." And it does year-round.
Burn.
But Easley looked anything but dejected in the photos. Easley made an atrocious call on a Hail Mary pass that cost the Packers victory. But Easley looked anything but dejected in the photos taken the very next night, even though his botched call was being played endlessly on the TVs behind him.
Everyone said he should kill himself, and no one knew why he didn't.
Yeah.
I like how like people give so much of a fuck about who he is or what he's doing. Like, after the game, all right, he can't go get a fucking beer.
Yeah, like, what's he supposed to do? I mean, you got to go into hiding and just, like,
just
cut yourself.
Cry yourself to sleep,
like,
every night.
Rightfully so, he clipped off his penis in 1 inch at a time to cause more pain.
Yeah.
He chopped off his right hand and, yeah.
My choice based on birth location of this arbitrarily chosen sports team is more important than your life as an officiant.
It's true.
In a replacement capacity of this.
There was a lot. Oh, sorry.
He found it. He found it.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
What is that?
It's David. Yeah, yeah, it's interrupting David Lee Roth.
What do you think about it, Justin?
I like it.
Do you have any further feelings?
I live my life like there's no tomorrow.
That's an
awesome. All I've got, I had a steal.
Weird way to feel.
Least I don't need to beg or borrow. Yes, hey, I'm living at a base that kills.
That's my favorite part.
Ooh, yeah.
That's my favorite part.
So anyway, Was it?
What were you trying to say, Brad? Oh, but,
I was just going to see if you guys maybe thought that...
I'll tell you all about it. I found the...
Yeah.
That was like every joke. There was a lot of... I think Twitter ran out of jokes for the replacement refs.
Well, Twitter exploded. It exploded into a million trillion tweets.
There really can't be any new jokes in a year, right? I mean, Twitter's going to cover all of it from shitty fucker at the brainwash to Patton Oswalt at his most obscure. Like, it's just
got it all, man.
I think Twitter's going to just make joke like just everything fucking irrelevant. It's like at this point now, when something happens that's of note, there's just a million tweets about everything, so I don't read any of them now.
Yeah, like topical, like the ability to write a topical joke is it doesn't matter anymore. Now it's like you have to just write absurdness because topical jokes are already, they've already been done. Twitter already kills them all within like an hour.
I only laugh at the Chinese Wi-Fi Twitter now, which today just had Whole Foods logo carved into organic picnic table.
What is that?
It's like this Twitter that Brett follows. It's just like so abstract that it's
weird.
Just,
weird.
Yeah, that he reads them to you and he expects a reaction, and you're like, huh?
It's comedy that almost touches poetry. It's just an assembly of words that makes an image that is odd and funny.
I told you guys about that. E-books. That Twitter, like when I first started, my dad says that there was a guy who would just tweet at me every day, faggot.
That was
once
it?
A day.
That's hilarious.
And that's it?
Yeah, and that was his whole Twitter. Like, he didn't tweet about anything else. He didn't tweet to anybody else. It just said, at shit my dad says, faggot.
Probably your dad.
That would be kind of awesome. William Shatner.
Yeah. Gawker had a thing today on Nancy Grace and her...
Don't read Gawker.
No, I
don't
hate Nancy
read
Grace.
Gawker or Nancy Grace.
No,
don't
but
let
she,
them...
Her Twitter's funny.
Shut up.
Bear with us here.
Yeah, and her mastery of hashtags, and it's pretty funny. Like some of her tweets, which is like, how do you accidentally run down a pregnant mom at a golf course? Hashtag preg mom run over.
That was actually trending really hard.
Yeah. Mom of five drinks all weekend, then passes out on the sofa, only to awaken and realize that she's crushed her newborn infant. Hashtag vodka mom.
All right, vodka mom's pretty good.
This one's my favorite. The issue here is when you have a child and then try to murder it. Hashtag baby in dryer.
Jesus. Honestly,
she really like punctuates these things with really funny jokes. Yeah. Hashtag jokes.
I would be okay going to hell as long as Nancy Grace were guaranteed to sit next to me.
And have a worse lot.
No.
We could have the same.
I just want to laugh at her.
Right now, all we know is that a 9-month-old baby boy was found dead in a car. Hashtag dead baby in car.
Why does she only write about dead babies?
No, that was just a category. This next one's death. Cops.
Different death.
Teen bludgeons mom with sledgehammer. Hashtag hammer death. That could be like a metal band.
That'd be awesome if she said hashtag hammer time.
Hey, maybe she's hiring writers.
This girl was electrocuted. Dash. That's probably more painful than a lot of other things. Hashtag mini golf death.
Oh, she tried to write a joke right there.
Yeah. No, I think it was actual mini golf death.
What if from now on every tweet she just ended with hashtag black people?
It's pretty, yeah. Dead white girl.
Like, she's got
it's
really
confusing. It's like kind of racist, but you don't know.
She's got really creepy hair.
One of her hashtags is hot cup of poison.
That's what I call my ejaculate.
What about your farts? That would be it.
That's different.
Hashtag,
that's a gallon. That's a gallon.
Hashtag crockpot wife killer.
So it's all about murder and death.
But this does make me want to watch her show.
Yeah.
Until you see her and then you want to kill yourself.
Oh, God. She gets five words out of her mouth and I just want to like hit her. I want to murder her with a big stick with a nail sticking out of it. Yeah.
Hammer time.
It's on mute at the gym sometimes, and even without sound, I just want to
kill the next three people next to me and then have a report on it so I can kill her.
Yeah, it's her and
hammer time.
What's the dude they have on the sports shows? His name is like Woody something.
Woody Hayes. Page.
Yeah, Woody Page. I see him shouting about something. I'm like, man, mute is not low enough for this asshole. Well,
anyone on those shows, the talking, yelling sports
where there's
shows?
Like nine heads of sports guys are like, I think the Steelers defense is overrated. Well, you're an idiot. They're definitely underrated.
It's the worst. And sports,
the whole format is terrible.
Yeah, the whole format is so broken and ESPN sucks so bad. It kind of reminds me, I minored in psychology in college and there's an apocryphal story of a psychology teacher who's lecturing and the students don't pay attention until he gets close to the chair. And then by the end of the semester, he's only standing on the chair to give his lectures because the students have conditioned him to, they only pay attention when he gets close to the chair. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like
they don't listen
Pavlov.
To him.
Yeah,
they
only, yeah, it's Pavlovian.
Why would they only listen to him when he gets close to the chair?
Because that was like, they were all in on the joke. Sorry. They were all in on the joke to like, shuffle the papers and not pay attention to shit. Yeah. Anyway, it sort of feels like that.
Chair teacher.
Yeah. It sort of feels like that with chair ESPN speech. Where they've taken, I don't know, some subset of vocal but insane people who are like, I love it when Skip Bayless says that, you know, such and such happens. Or they just, they see the outrage where they're like, how does this fucking person have a job? And they're like, this gets ratings. It's gold. Yeah. Let's have Lil Wayne on to debate him. And it's just awful. It's horrendous.
Yeah. Kornheiser and what's his name? Wilbon. It's just like, why are you constantly you just pick they're like high school debate teams. But it's like you're picking a side that you don't even –
that one's not
– you're
really
shouting
civil.
At each other.
That's the most civil of all of them.
That one's nothing compared
to – around the horn. And who's
the
guy –
but they're just fake debating each other. Like they don't even actually care about
it. Well, and that's the whole thing is Skip Bayless. You know there's no way Skip Bayless is so stupid that he could possibly think – that any of this shit he says is true. He just goes, what is the most – he has, like, reduced his trollage to – he's just distilled
the most extreme.
To a singularity where he's like, what is the absolute most dickhead thing I could possibly say?
What's the most
say?
Extreme?
That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, but what could enrage everyone the most? Let's do it.
Right, and he's also got it down where he doesn't – he's very careful not to include any facts or data or actual
I really liked what Cuban went on.
Back
did you see
up.
What Mark Cuban went on?
No, I don't watch it. It's full of shit. Well, I've seen enough of
I only
of
watched
Skip
that because Mark Cuban ripped him apart, and he's like, Skip, you have no facts. Like, Mark, blah, 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 blah. Like, just
right. Well,
away.
That's his whole thing. He doesn't actually – he doesn't take any position where he can say, here's what I think and here's why I think it. He just goes – LeBron is a fraud, and he's a clown, and you can't convince me otherwise. He doesn't get it. He doesn't do it the right way. And it also kind of ties into my whole thing that just makes me want to throw myself through a fucking window of the whole uptight white sports writer thing where it's like, LeBron doesn't do things the right way.
Yeah.
He will always be a loser because he doesn't get it. And he's not doing things the way they should be done. And you can't argue any of that. And this is probably the fourth time I've referenced this on the Fratcast, but Spencer Hall saying, I love it when people talk about culture because you don't actually have to have any facts to back up your argument. So that's what Skip Bayless' whole platform is based off of. And
yeah. Skip Bayless also looks like he's made of baseball gloves.
Yeah, and Will Leach finally called for a boycott. They're like, stop it. You get mad at what he says. You're just falling into his whole fucking trap.
Oh, yeah. No,
do every time.
Guys, I actually have to run. My wife is home.
Boo. Bye.
What?
I just booed you.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Well, thanks for coming on. Good luck with the pilot.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll get to come on and promote it if it actually happens.
Hopefully.
You can certainly do that.
That would be a good thing because that means it's going to get shot and picked up.
That sounds like a plan to me, and then I'll be super rich.
Can you get one of us a role as, like, background, like, pizza farter?
It should be Brad.
Absolutely. I promise that if it happens.
Like I said, I'd be really good as the Riddler.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks
All
a lot.
Right, take care.
Take care.
So you guys think that – I'm going to pitch you on a show right now, right?
Uh-oh. A Brett show?
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
Well, you should be. You should be afraid, not nervous. Real fear.
True fear. Go.
Four people, probably two of which are regulars and two of which are Collins, talking about sports.
Yeah.
On that road, I got no love.
Sorry, keep
no
going.
No love you'd call real. But ain't got nobody.
Yeah, time it right.
Waiting at home.
They don't actually know anything about anything about sports. Right?
God damn it, baby, no, I ain't lying to you. I'm only gonna tell you one time.
So they're all trying to just out bluff each other.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
About whether or not the score points from the evening before were more or less important,
yeah.
Given all that you.
Given all the.
Woo!
You can hear a little bit.
Is that him on the kazoo?
Yeah. Oh, it's I don't know whatever what that.
Oh,
know,
do you think he has
I
a?
I found the simple life. Yeah, that's.
It's not a kazoo. That's a.
It's one of those things that you pull a string
it's a
out
slide
of.
Slide whistle.
Yes,
it's a clown.
Do you think he has a guy
slide
that?
Whistle. It's a little tube with a fan in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think he just has a guy that follows him around? And does that anyway? The show's called Encircle the Antler.
Encircle the Antler, and it's just about guys that try to fake their sports knowledge.
Yeah, because they're trying to fit in at the office.
Okay. Okay.
So this is a weekly show? How does this work?
Yeah, it's like Around the Horn.
But it's like he hit more home runs, slam dunks.
I get it now.
Yeah, because they don't understand.
He hit more home runs, slam dunk touchdowns than the other guy.
Yeah.
No, but his length of his golf.
And I think you buzz them out when they make an error recognizable enough to not actually.
Ah, so they actually should know what they're talking about, but they sort of don't.
I think it's like American Idol, where you're kind of rooting for them to lose. I don't think you actually want them to win.
One of my favorite awkward small talk moments of all time was at my friend's wedding. The bride's dad was trying to chat with me or whatever, and I don't know. We're sitting next to each other at dinner, and there's a strange lull in the conversation.
He just goes, grabbed his cock.
He goes,
"This is what I think about the Mexicans."
He goes, "You see this Blake Griffin kid?" And I'm like, "I don't really watch basketball." He goes, "He's got more slams than anybody."
I like that.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's got so many slams.
Probably the most slams.
He's got so many slams.
Four or five
more
slams.
More slams than anybody.
Four or five slams per round.
You guys into per blogging? Wicket. Web 2.0? You into this?
Is that what you do? What do you do all day? What do you do all day?
He's adding the points after the
O-ing all day.
2.0 point Vince.
You guys want to hear a story about butt chugging?
Oh, does it have to do with fraternities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drink
it's
the butt.
Called
drink the butt.
Butt
the
butt.
I've never heard anything like that. I've heard of it, I guess, before, but.
Oh, come on.
It's called butt chugging. And your children may be doing it.
You cut us off mid-channel.
That would
just
be so good
steam.
Of it. And it's sweeping the nation.
Can we? Personally, I've never heard anything like that. I've heard of it, I guess, before, but. Never practiced the method.
UT's Greek community at a loss for words. Police
Greek,
information
yeah.
That's
of course
disturbing
the
sinners around this fraternity.
Yeah. My reaction's so strong right now, that is completely out of the blue.
Hearing something to this extreme is unheard of, and it's definitely not something supported by the Greek community.
1:30 a.m. Saturday morning, police say an unresponsive UT student was dropped off at UT Medical Center. Investigators linked.
We asked the science.
Investigators looked at his butthole and determined he'd been butt chugging.
Drink the butt.
We have
drink
a strict,
the butt. Drink the
here at
butt.
UT, we have a strict no butt chugging rule at the Greek system.
Oh, someone's going to have to put that in a pamphlet, and it's going to be the single crowning moment of their college career.
No
Vince,
butt chugging.
Vince Dooley is going to have to do PSAs on butt chugging. He's going to have
student?
His orange pants on, and he's going to be like, y'all want a butt chug? That dog ain't going to hunt.
Who's Vince Dooley?
He's the football coach.
Oh,
he's brilliant. Acquaint yourself with Vince Dooley. He's just an awesome Southern football coach.
Nice.
And he wears Tennessee orange pants.
Can you drink out of his butt? Can you drink out of the man's butt, Brendan?
You're going to have to ask him yourself.
Can he drink into his butt?
Can you self-butt chug?
You might need a hand.
We asked a scientist. Turns out he's a douche.
With Pi Kappa Alpha, several people, including three passed-out Mels, found inside the Pike House.
What's a passed-out Mel?
They're all named Mel.
Or is that some sort of like...
No, they were all Mels.
Look at these passed-out Mels. These guys can't hang for shit. How many butt chugs you take, Pledge? Zero, pussy.
We got a couple passed-out Mels, a sleeping Dick, and a chugging Harry. I don't know.
How many ambulances do we need? Don't worry, they're just Mels.
We have three passed up Mels, a puking Todd.
You can stack four Mels to a drunk bus.
How the hell did the Mel get to Tennessee? I don't know.
I don't know, man. We got a shitting Todd, a puking Dwight. We don't know what's going on over here.
Puking Dwights are the worst.
You think a passed out Mel is just a tired anti-Semite?
We got a couple of passed out Mels over here.
Listen, I deserve to be blown.
You will blow me.
Counts. Police believe members of the fraternity used alcohol enemas. The technique heightens the level and speed of alcohol entering the blood. It bypasses the liver filtering process.
Didn't they mess it up really badly?
Band playing in the background.
Entering the butt.
Yeah, in the butt stream.
No, it speeds alcohol not into the blood, but into the butt.
Yes.
You know, just saying. So, proceed. I've got a lot of questions about this one.
When we arrived here at the fraternity house, several college students were sitting outside. We asked them if they would like to comment. One student shook his head no, and then they all walked inside. University police say no charges have been filed. They're trying to determine if the technique was self-administered or a case of assault or hazing. The Pike House
assault.
Will now be empty for 30 days.
I was assaulted with a beer bong.
That was my question. I mean, clearly you can't do that to yourself or you wouldn't. Hey, guys,
Why wouldn't you? Guys,
give me a minute. I'm going to go in my room. I'm going to give myself a butt enema, and I'm going to come back so hammered.
I'm pretty sure. I feel like that makes way more sense. Like a guy trying it out. As an experiment, makes way more sense than someone forcibly like squirting booze up his butt.
You have to admire the intrepidness and the really the tenacity of someone who would forcibly assault someone with booze in their asshole.
Butt booze?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could clench that booze right out of there anyway.
Yeah.
I was peeing. They pour the booze in your butt, or you drink the butt out of the booze?
Well.
You wouldn't drink the butt.
They were speculating as to whether it was self-applied or forcibly injected, which I don't buy.
Well, I don't think it would be forced. I just think it would be like hazing time.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Have you ever thought about doing a beer bong?
In your butt.
I know it's all cool.
We call this a butt bong, but this is not a butt chug implies that you're gulping with your butthole.
Right.
Because otherwise it's, goom, goom, goom.
Is that the sound it makes?
Yeah.
So right. You don't want that beer bong to get mixed up with the other beer bongs. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Is that like the vodka-soaked separate tampon? You need a separate dedicated butt chugger.
It's in the brown cabinet. We don't keep anything else there.
Yeah, you need to keep the butt chugger separate from the normal beer bong.
We keep that one under the sink.
Yeah, it never crossed my mind to pump alcohol into my butthole.
Oh, it crossed my mind. I didn't cross my butt. I thought about it.
That's a do not pour threshold.
Yeah.
It didn't cross the butthole threshold.
Yeah, the whole turkey bastering.
You did that.
I didn't do it, but I'd heard of it.
I'm curious. I'm just saying.
Yeah, as curious as how it worked.
Am I the weird one?
Yeah.
That just seems like a lot of fluid going in a place I don't really need it to go.
I understand doing strange things like huffing paint or...
eating oatmeal soap so you could fart.
Yes. I can get on board with all that kind of
stuff. What about computer duster?
But if you've got the
booze, what about computer duster?
Right, right. Strange ways to get yourself high. That really appeals to a 13 or 14-year-old, right? But it's like you have the booze. Why stick in your butt? Why not just...
And coming from a butt specialist like yourself, that just shows how weird it is.
Yeah, it's like you got the beer. You drink it. It makes you happy. It's kind of like the fetish people. It's like, you got a vagina right there. Why are you trying to fuck the foot? Did you, right.
Vagina doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Well, what's up with the toes down there? You got a perfectly good vagina still.
Look, I'm going to need to cut like a little bit of your meat off.
But my vagina's right here. Right here.
No.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Oh, you want some vagina meat?
No. It's actually got to be like side, like
leg
Alpestor.
Okay.
Butt chugger. Good old fashioned butt chugger.
Dude, check it out. Here comes the butt chugger. Hey, butt chugger. You gonna chug anything in your butt this weekend?
Go chug a butt chugger.
Right, so being as a part of a fraternity in college, you know that every other fraternity is laughing. They're dicks off at the one fraternity. Right. That's a bunch of butt chuggers.
What was that fraternity in that Portman's? Oh, yeah, the Pikes. Yeah,
bunch of butt chuggers.
Hey, bro, I heard you're rushing Pike. You know they're a bunch of butt chuggers. Hey, you want to get a beer bong shoved up your ass? I bet you would.
My next thought is just everyone amongst themselves just being like, fucking bunch of butt chuggers.
Bunch of butt chuggers over there.
Speaking of the
butt chugging,
the bully talk, hey butt chugger. There's the guy who did Old Boy, Park Chan Wook, has a new movie out, and it's called Stoker, and it's about like a girl whose mom dies, and then her dad dies, and then her mom starts fucking her uncle, and like I said, the movie's called Stoker, and then there's some epic bully dialogue that I think you need to hear.
Jesus Christ. Hey, Stoker, what do you go by, Stroker now? Because I hear that's what your mom's been doing to your uncle.
Is that from South Park?
Wait, is this dubbed?
No.
Wait, he made an English movie?
Yeah. Yeah, it's his first. It's his debut.
Awesome.
Was it written by Matt Stone Stoker. And Trey Parker?
What do you go by, Stroker now? Because I hear that's what your mom's been doing to your uncle.
Kind of sounds like Laramie, that guy's voice.
Is that? Did you guys see his vampire movie?
No, I didn't.
It's really more just about being in a shitty relationship than it is about, like, it's secondary that maybe she's killing everyone. But he's just kind of a pussy, and he's like, yeah.
Well, you see, it's a metaphor, Brett.
What?
Yeah.
You mean she, in real life, was not a vampire?
Yeah, exactly.
They just had a bad relationship.
Why would you lie like that?
Some people think it heightens the point that they're trying to make.
That seems dumb. Why would you just say the thing that you thought?
I don't know. You know, people they lie.
Do you lie?
No. Not to you.
You have more clips for us?
Oh, what? I'm just like an unstoppable clip machine?
You are. That's what I view you as.
I do.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you got a chance to see the Lil Wayne
That was
deposition.
The whole clip from the...
Well, I didn't want to play the whole trailer. It's just like... It's going to be like background music while people kill each other.
Wait, so what was, Lil Wayne?
Did you watch Mr. Vengeance?
No, I didn't.
Did you watch Mrs. Vengeance?
No.
Lady Vengeance?
There's more. No, I didn't.
Jesus, what the fuck you been doing?
Sorry.
Really? You liked Old Boy, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like it as much as everybody else liked it. I don't know.
What's wrong with you, man?
I liked it. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the best fucking movie I've ever seen.
It's top 10. Old Boy's hardcore.
Really?
Yeah, Old Boy's
I don't know.
Good.
That was one of the few movies where I saw the twist coming and it wasn't like super shocking for me.
The twist isn't really the... I don't know.
Like, usually I'm pretty dumb. I don't like anticipate that kind
of
stuff.
Mr. Vengeance is brutal but beautifully shot. Like, there's a lot of very artsy lingering scenes that... are pretty.
Yeah.
Mrs. Vengeance is just like fucking batshit loco.
For real?
For real.
Just crazy?
Crazy.
Like they do crazy stuff?
But with sex.
Oh.
Go, Brandon, go.
Yes. Oh, I was just about to do a nice iced tea. So let me get this. Wait, I gotta get it.
Is he Mexican now? I didn't even know.
That's weird. What
Sorry,
was
my iced tea game is weak. Last time I impersonated Ice-T was when he was heckling Amy Mann on Twitter, which was hilarious. Where he's like, get your stank bitch ass out of here. Like, it was so funny.
Bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
There was a lot of bowl of dick eating, wasn't
oh,
there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, go eat a bowl of dicks.
Yeah. So Lil Wayne was...
What's he deposed for?
Well, the account from Grantland is, in 2009, The Carter was released, a documentary about Lil Wayne and the creation and lead up to his highly anticipated The Carter 3. Even though the film was put out at the height of Lil Wayne's critical acclaim and best rapper alive-dom and showed how truly dedicated he was toward his craft of being a rapper. Wayne attempted and failed to block the film from ever being released, presumably because of the high level of recreational drug use on display from start to finish. What has happened since then? Wayne has gone on to sue Quincy Jones III, the producer of the film, after he filed suit. Wayne was questioned by Jones's lawyer, David Ross, of the firm Brown George Ross, in what is known to us in the law world as a deposition. And here's some clips. Just keeping it real.
Lil Wayne answers to no one.
Is that an interview that you actually gave with Katie Couric?
Is that an interview that I actually gave with Katie Couric?
Yeah.
What's your name again?
Hey, well, that's not the question.
What's his name?
Pete Ross. Huh? Pete Ross. That's a stupid-ass question. You just saw me on there giving an interview with her.
Okay. So that was you. Did you perform at the Virgin Mobile Music Fest in 2008 with Kanye West?
I don't know, but I know I did perform at this badass bitch birthday party recently. She was crazy, stupid thick.
Isn't it some?
I'm angry listening to that.
So is it true that the video we would just watch is you performing live?
It's like Eddie Murphy interviewing himself, where he's just like, he steps off camera and does his, like, I'm the white guy with the...
To be fair, Dave Chappelle probably does one of my favorite white guys, but
yeah,
same thing.
Chip.
Yeah. Didn't know I couldn't do that. But,
Lil Wayne is...
A pancake butt. Just like a, it just looks like an incision.
Whole washcloth right up the ass.
White people don't use washcloths. You know about this?
Bar of soap.
No, they don't use washcloth.
No, but I fucked it up. It's bar of soap.
Yeah, right.
I don't remember.
So Lil Wayne? Is this you?
Explain to me why you dropped the letters there. Doesn't seem to be a T in your name. What are you hiding?
Bitch birthday party recently. She was crazy, stupid thick.
Isn't it something that you would remember if your album, The Carter 3, was the biggest selling album of the year in two?
I like this because he uses grammar on this motherfucker right here.
2008.
Isn't it something that I would remember that?
Yes.
Isn't that a personal opinion type question? That's why I got that. I mean, because I would be actually answering the question to, isn't it something? That's my question. Isn't it something?
That you would remember.
Isn't it something? That's the question I have to answer, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Isn't it something?
Do the best trying to answer it.
Yeah, it's something out of your ass. That's my answer. Yeah, it is something.
Final answer?
Give her.
Out your ass. All right.
I like him more. That's
isn't it something that you don't maybe remember or don't remember it?
I mean, this is exactly what Clinton did.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Exactly.
So like the
that would depend on what the definition of is. Yeah.
What's the definition? Yeah, that's right. It was
out your
that
ass.
Was part of his whole defense. It was the definition of is, right?
Yeah.
Well, what is your definition of is, Brendan?
That's funny.
Define it.
I don't know. How would you define is?
Vince went to word school.
State of
to
being.
Be factual.
Vince, you went to word school.
State of being. In Latin, there's two forms. There's the temporary state of being, and then there's the permanent.
How many words?
Out your butt.
How many words are on your ascot?
Oh, well, it's just a monogram.
Monogrammed ascot?
It's more about what it represents. It's the symbolism of it all.
It is very symbolic.
Sometimes you pin your carnation to your ascot. And
sometimes you pin it to your chest while wearing the ascot.
If it's a red carnation, it means you go both ways.
That means hand job, blow job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Depending on what pocket you put it in.
So many rules.
There are. That's what you have to go there to learn. It's
like, try this on for size. Monogrammed ascot wrapped around a butt chug bong. See?
Wow.
See how that works? See, it's just yeah.
Just, wow, you just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, it's evocative.
You used to win scat there.
I just love that it's anytime those guys are walking around campus, hey, There go those butt chuggers.
There's the butt chuggers.
There's the butt chuggers right there. What's up, butt chuggers? You have more clips for us, Vince?
What, man? We can't just talk? We can't just have a conversation?
I don't like talking to you guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Look what you did to Brendan.
That wasn't me.
No,
Brendan, how was your dog's graduation? Did you graduate his ass?
It got to the point where we had six classes. It got to the point where we were the only ones there tonight. Everyone else was just like, fuck this, we're not going.
Literally anymore. Just you and your dog.
And my girlfriend, yeah.
Everyone else got the dog GED.
Yeah. Everyone else dropped out.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bunch of fucking dropouts?
Yeah.
All right. Was there like the... Because I went to the same thing, and it's very much like best in show. There are some types that show up to the dog show. There's mm-hmm. there's the scared Asian couple who named their dog like Fluffy or something. Like,
no, there,
really
there
obvious.
Was the state. There
and
was
there's
the
like
scared,
the pampered gay couple.
There wasn't a pampered gay couple. There was a scared Asian girl. She was single, and she had Fluffy dogs. I didn't know her name, but her dogs. I think I talked about this before. Her dog's name was D'Artagnan.
Oh, really? No, yeah. You didn't say that.
Yeah. Which
that's
I don't think
fancy.
It's just a stupid name for a dog.
D'Artagnan! Yeah.
I'm always, I always say that a dog's name should be two syllables because like, then it's easier for them to hear and for you to shout.
Fuckwit!
Yeah. Like one syllable is hard for the dog to pick up on, and any more than that, it's going to be really obnoxious to shout in a crowded place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then there was like the weird hippie couple that had the husky, and of course, have no control over it.
Huskies
right?
are hard ones because
right,
they're
impossible.
You got to be fucking in charge. Of
the
that
whole
shit.
Breed, yeah. The point of the breed is that it's gonna, that it wants to run 100 miles a day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but they like it because it's earthy and it looks like a wolf. But you know, and if the dog wants,
and it takes
to, like,
butt chugs like no
yeah,
other dog.
If the dog wants to eat furniture and bite other people and take a shit in the middle of the floor, it's.
That's what it's going to do. That's in its nature.
So they only showed up once. Thank God.
It's too institutionalized here.
Right.
I don't like how the dogs are like some sort of second-rate citizen.
I don't like all the rules they put on the dog.
I mean, like, what is a leash really other than a submission to an authoritarian complex?
Okay, I've been seeing a lot of little kids on leashes lately. Have you
seen
little
kids deserve leashes? Little kids are garbage.
I don't know if that's a new thing that people are doing, but I see them with like the little backpack that has. It's like a leash that attaches to the kid's backpack, but the parent basically has the kid on a leash.
You know what's gross? Babies come out of people.
Yeah.
Babies should be locked up in a cage.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that it was more of a leash harness back in the day.
It's shaped like a monkey.
Well, no, it's like the leash harness, like the axle.
Yeah, it's got a little monkey, and the monkey's fun tail is your way to choke your child into submission.
And then it was coming straight out the middle of the back on a leash.
I just let them run, just thinking they're free. And then right when they get to the line of sight, you make sure they know.
Well, you can't. My brother, this is back in the day. He was probably 2 or 3 years old, 3 years old maybe. I was 5. We were at Disneyland, and you know when you're a kid, you're really short. Turns out, really short,
yeah.
And so you just follow legs. That's all right. David, how you doing? So you just follow legs, and my brother was sort of absent-minded, so he followed the wrong legs, and this is in probably 1984. And, turns out a little bit before cell phones or anything else like that.
Yeah.
So it took a while to find him because he followed the wrong legs.
Where was he?
We're at Disneyland. I don't remember exactly where he ended up, but...
Next to some other dude's fine-ass legs.
Yeah, some fine-ass calves, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it happens when
you don't think kids can be on leashes?
No, I have no problem with it. It just seems like it's grown in popularity lately. I saw it because we went to the Monterey Bay Aquarium over the weekend, and I saw like 2 or 3 different kids on leashes.
Yeah, because I feel like I would see 2 or 3 in a year at one point, not 2 or 3 in one location.
Yeah.
I like to tie them together and then give them to a stranger. So you can like
here,
walk four
watch
of
these.
Them.
Watch these.
Hey.
This is my black kid, my Asian kid, and my white kid.
I'm going to go get drunk.
Hold on.
See what you can do with these little fuckers.
Do you mind holding these for a little bit? Just like a couple
if
hours.
If they get tired, just leave them because. Fuck.
Time to a tree or something.
Yeah, they love trees.
That's got to mess with your little kid brain, though.
What, to be on a leash?
Yeah.
Why? Probably gives you a feeling of security.
You might need a leash today.
Oh, yeah, you totally
you
need
could
a leash.
Use a leash.
You need, like, three people to hold it. You need one of those training leashes they use when they're flipping tires. You know, Brendan wore one for a while.
Yeah.
That's called, what is that called when they, like a sled?
No, sled's where you push a sled.
What's the thing that they put behind you that you pull?
Oh, yeah, it's like a running sled where it's like a harness and then they put the plates on it.
What if, all right, if we were near a canal and I put, and I like it, could we get like one really fast guy to get me up on water skis? Like if we ran him right next to a canal?
You'd have to run really fast for quite a while.
It's going
to
be hard for him to run in the canal.
No, no, he's outside of the canal, and I'm in the canal, and I got a big long rope.
Why wouldn't you just immediately go out of the canal? That's how physics works. You're just going to be, he's going to pull you right out of the canal because he's so fast.
No, no, he's going to pull me along. He's like in front of me.
Brett, you don't get it. But that would be tough. He wouldn't go for very long.
You go right out of the canal.
What if it was like Usain Bolt? You think he could get me up on water skis? We should test that. Like Wee Man and Usain Bolt, where Usain Bolt runs right next to a canal as fast as he can to see if he can.
He's going
to
pull him out of the canal. You're going to follow in a straight line.
He's not going to pull him out of the canal. Your skis are going straight, so it's like a sailboat, you know? The wind is pushing it. It's like not exactly.
Nothing like that.
Yeah, it is.
No, he'd pull him right out of the canal. You're going to follow the line.
He would not pull him right. Do you want to see videos where people water ski like on the canal bank? It doesn't have to be perfectly straight. Like you can steer your own skis.
This is fascinating.
I would like to see that though. Usain Bolt water skiing Wee Man.
Yeah. Or a dog.
Or a dog.
Or that squirrel from the local news, the water skiing squirrel.
I could water ski that squirrel.
Oh.
Tie a leash around me.
Yeah.
I could water ski that squirrel.
Speaking of squirrels, I do have another clip about a guy who got a DUI with a squirrel.
There was another video of a squirrel that jumped out a window or something and lived.
That doesn't seem like much of the worst story I've ever heard.
But it was on
that
the
didn't
news.
Seem like much of an accomplishment for
all right,
a squirrel.
Well, then he butt chugged something. He butt chugged acorns.
I walked to the door to meet with Warren Michael
this
and his
already
girlfriend
sounds
Alexander
bad. This guy's voice
to ask about his DUI this weekend in Fleming Island.
Can you say anything important
squirrel.
With a voice like that?
What happened the other night?
He's interviewing the squirrel right now. He's got the.
What? I can't even face. What? Jesus, how do you sound like
what
that?
Happened the other night when Warren Stevenson was at the
how do you not just
the
how do you not
Oaks
just,
bar? He had too much to drink that night. Just, is that pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's good. I mean, how do you just not take that step off the sixth floor when you sound like that in your head all day long?
You just have to over there's got to be a lot of variation in your voice so people don't get bored. And he said he went to the bar and had a beer.
Yeah, turn down the highs a little bit, but otherwise you're good. Play it.
Well, he got a DUI.
Whoa, he's very friendly. She's very friendly.
By the way, you know it's a bad local news segment when it just has the reporter walking up to the door and then knocking on the door. Because like, you know they didn't edit anything out. They're like, is the guy we're trying to interview here? Oh, he is. Okay, cool. We're just going to leave this in.
It's like this podcast right here.
Yeah.
Well, well, we do that because, you know, we're trying to keep it more of a... It's like a sort of a Brechtian theater. We're not trying to fool you.
It's Dogma 95.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a butt chug.
We get real tired and we don't want to do work.
It's like Gonzo podcasting. You know, we're not trying to hide the form.
Like chickpeas.
No, that's garbanzo. This is more like you know, instead of putting those tiles on the roof. You leave the pipes and then you paint the pipes cool because, you know, you're not trying to hide them from anybody.
Like the pipes are sky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't take long to get the story. Michael confessed to me he had drank a few beers Saturday night and was driving with this pet squirrel when he was pulled over. What did the cop think when the cop noticed the squirrel?
He considered calling animal control. That's about it.
Evidently, Michael had had a few too many because police reports show he told the officer, quote, he had a squirrel eating him. Then he pulled out a small squirrel he had wrapped under his shirt.
He wasn't eating him. He was just nibbling. Crawling was, around in his shirt, you know, kind of nibbling at him. And
he was tired, so he was just resting in my shirt. He just liked where he went. And,
he
just moved a whole bunch and I wasn't used to it.
Yeah, she does seem very friendly.
She is very friendly.
Michael was certainly a threat to pedestrians and other cars. The report says he almost hit both as he was taken to...
Oh, local news, you provide us with such wonderful, relevant information.
What do you tell us about your drunk driving incident? Like, I would say, well, it's kind of a fluff piece mixed with lights and sirens, which is interesting.
I mean, I was shit-ass hammered, not going to lie. But mostly I was swerving because of this dang squirrel here.
Look, since you're an important newsman, we'll tell you the truth. I was trying to fuck the squirrel.
Look, I had the squirrel butt-chugging my
car. I ain't
going
to lie to you, Mr. Newsman. I was shit-ass hammered, trying to fuck my squirrel, as I do. And up here come a policeman.
In the newt.
Look, I ain't going to lie to you, Mr. Newsman, or news lady, or whatever you is.
You got a powerful truthness about you.
Man, I was fucked up, all right? And I got the squirrel all up in my belly. I was trying to...
And my dick parts.
And I was trying to butt-chug my 40 as I was driving home. Mm. Didn't go so well.
Me and my squirrel, always butt-chugging. So I forgot to talk about this last week, but I got an email from the guy that runs the open mic that I usually do on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he's like, there's this crazy dude here who says he wants to fight you because of that joke you did about Zulus.
I don't even know your Zulu
joke.
Joke
about Zulus?
No, that's the thing. I didn't do any joke about Zulus or
someone thinks
Zimbabwe.
You did.
There's a dude who's angry because I supposedly made some joke about Zulus and or Zimbabwe. And,
not something to joke about, man.
And since I didn't, I think one of two things.
Zulus be all like this.
And Zimbabweans be all like that.
You know how Zulus be all banging their spears against their shields and stuff? The only two things that I think could have happened were either like someone else made a joke about Zulus or Zimbabwe, like someone that went on right after me and he got it confused with me. Or someone made a joke and the guy was like, hey, what the fuck, man? What's your name? And he's like, oh, I'm Vince Mancini, which I think would be hilarious.
That would be pretty good. And then he butt-chugged right on stage.
Yeah.
So there's a guy angry at you.
Yeah, an angry Zulu.
Are you sure he's not from...
There, he's got like a boner in his nose. And he's like...
No shirt.
You very hurtful stereotype. That was Indian. I messed it up.
That was self-fulfilling.
I got my ethnicity.
No wonder he's so
crossed.
Angry.
Yeah.
You're doing an Indian.
That would be kind of sweet if it was like an actual Zulu warrior in full regalia.
Yeah.
And Shaka Zulu's got a fucking bone in his nose to pick with you.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
I didn't even
Bishop Luke.
I mean, part of it.
Ah, Ustaga Fulaisa. Ah, this man making fun of the Zulu.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Brandon.
Bishop, look at this.
I mean, Bishop, look at this man trying to make fun of the Zulu.
A bone to pick his nose is kind of beautiful.
A bone in his nose to pick with Vince.
Yeah.
Because, like, pick your. I mean, it's like there's three or four levels there.
Oh, yeah. It's just like one hand watching the other for eternity. Like a figure eight. It's like making a figure eight.
Flipping into your butt one, back and forth forever.
It's other. One yeah. Butt chugging the other. There you go, Brendan. Brendan, take us on out of here.
All right.
Sure? Do we do good?
Yeah, we did wonderful.
Okay.
High five all around, everybody. All
good right. Work, guys.
Hey,
We make fun of movies a lot, but... There's some really
serious,
good ones coming out.
Serious, no.
Like I can't movies. Get these guys to come out to see movies, but I've
saw
seen
a
like
fucking movie.
I've seen like four movies in a row, and they were all pretty good.
Back
which
to
is
back.
Weird.
To, oh, it's so hard for you. It's so hard for you to see movies.
What?
It's your job, man.
I know.
Don't fucking guilt trip us.
I know. Well, I almost got kicked out of that one movie. Remember?
Because you're an asshole.
Well, yeah.
That is true. Yeah. That's the reason you got kicked out. Not because you see too many.
These guys don't see any movies, but I have to see like. Four a
I've
week.
Seen so many movies, I almost get kicked
God,
out.
God, it's almost as if
this
someone
this guy's
paid
not getting
me.
In. He called me a dick.
So go.
Look, I'll suffer a fool, but not without calling him a dick under my breath as I'm walking away. That's just the kind of man I am.
Fucking dick.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen like four movies in a row, and they've all been pretty damn good. I think this fall season, there's actually like a lot, like strangely, there's a lot of good movies coming out. So check them out. That's all I'm saying. I saw...
List them?
I saw Dread, then I saw The Master, then I saw The Sessions, and then I saw Looper, and they were all at least a B plus.
Isn't it nice to go to movies and they're actually good?
Yeah, it's weird. Like when someone's actually trying to make a good movie and not just regurgitating some crap. I always think it's funny. Like I watched The Change Up on cable a while back, and the weird thing about The Change Up is I almost guarantee someone, like these two guys, are like, "Oh, let's do like this parody sort of takeoff of the Body Swap movie," and then they pitched it, and some studio exec is like, "Oh yeah, we haven't done a body swap comedy in a while.
We've already got Ryan Reynolds in at least 3 years."
Yeah. So then instead of like the, you know, instead of this sort of
tongue in cheek
take off on it, you get like, "Oh, I think it should have a heart." You get basically the exact same body swap.
You get
comedy.
Notes. You get notes.
It's weird because like you watch that movie and like on a micro level, some of the jokes are kind of funny, but on a macro level, the movie is like a fucking disaster.
Yes, I don't watch movies like that. It only makes me angry.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if it's Sunday afternoon, comes on HBO, I'll be like, I'll check this out. Oh, the other thing that I watched 5 minutes of, Sex and the City 2.
Oh no, I definitely don't watch that.
Did you have you seen it? It's been on HBO lately. Have you seen any of it?
I have to pee.
Totally came back to Lindy's.
Is that
review.
A yes or a no?
No.
Samantha
doesn't know.
Let's put it this way: Samantha was wearing a jacket that had silver epaulets with
epaulets,
silver epaulets with giant spikes coming out, like good 7-inch silver spikes coming out of it.
That's what the Jamaican police wear. It's a national emblem of Jamaican
Jamaican Police Authority.
Oh, Jamaican me spikes. Jamaican me wear spikes, man.
Jamaican me spikes so tall on my shoulders, man.
Oh, me go and stab you with me bullets. Spike, man. Boom.
Hear me now.
Them spikes get it dopey. Him no come here no more. Him no go and come after me family.
All right.
Yeah, we're done.
Good times,
don't
everybody. Don't do it, Vince.
Buy some fucking shirts.
And no, buy some everything.
Design it. Don't you have to design it first?
Oh, don't buy some tickets instead of shirts.
No, thanks to everyone again. Can't wait to come out to Chicago, October 3rd, October 4th. Thanks to Doc
Films. Are you
guys
not scared? No, are you not scared?
No, you're always scared.
Terrified.
But you're always, but you live, that's how you wake up.
It's how I survive.
That's what drives you.
There's tigers everywhere.
Everywhere. Thanks to Evan and Doc Films. Doc Films also, you know, they do other stuff over if you're in Chicago area, so go check them out. They do movies over at, you're mouthing things to me.
You have to mention the Tall Tales.
Oh, sorry. Live broadcast in Chicago, brought to you by, do it, Brett.
Tall Tale Productions.
No, don't be so sad about it.
What?
No, I thought we were doing a simultaneous.
You sounded sad.
So you're trying to match my tone?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's like the that. Brett tone.
Tall Tale Productions.
Yep, brought to you by Tall Tale Productions. But thanks to Evan at Doc Films as well. Brendan, take us on out of here so you can pee.
All right. Frockcast@gmail.com. Keep the emails coming. Vince, what's the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right.
You don't listen to those.
Yeah.
We don't. We just don't call.
But leave them anyway.
Yeah!
Until next week.
Oh!
Good night.
Oh, now you ain't lying, baby!